I'm looking forward to covering this session here called Fulfilling the Great Commission Together. So we know that we're called to fulfill the Great Commission, but what does that look like, fulfilling the Great Commission in the context of community with other people, particularly here at Houston's First, your LBS class? You may or may not be from Houston's First, and as we get started here, I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Marcus Rodriguez, and I've been on staff here at Houston's First for over 4 years now, about 4.5 years. I like to count the half years because that's kind of how I measure how things are going in life and ministry, things like that. And I'm the Minister of Mobilization and Evangelism here at Houston's First. And so my entire focus here at Houston's First is trying to mobilize and move followers of Jesus Christ out and to fulfill the Great Commission and to do that together. So that's just a little bit about me. I've been married for 18 years now. I have a wife of 18 years. Her name is Hannah. I have 3 daughters, ages 15, 12, and 6. And fun fact about me, I have 2 foster children in our home right now, ages 4 and 2. And so life is beautiful chaos for sure right now. Definitely beautiful chaos for sure. It's been great. They've been in our house for about 2.5 months now, going on 5 years. So that's what it feels like. But it's been great. And we just love getting to serve just vulnerable children, children in need. Being on the missions team here at Houston's First and on mission staff has taken me all over the world. It's been incredible. I think one of the greatest blessings in my own personal faith journey has been getting to learn from and be with followers of Jesus in different cultural contexts all over the world, whether it's India, South Asia, Nepal, different places, East, Southeast Asia, been to some places in Southeast Asia, and to just see the church united under the banner of Jesus, no matter the cultural context, is just such an incredible thing. So that's a little bit about me. I'd love to hear about you. Tell me a little bit about you. Just tell me what campus you attend, if you're a part of Houston's First. If you're not from Houston's First, then what church are you from? And then I also love to hear what LBS class you're in. And I also want to know if you are a give leader in your class. That's also going to be a particular significance today, because my talk is definitely slanted, speaking directly to give leaders. If you're not a give leader, that's okay. You can go find your give leader in your LBS class and say, hey, this talk was for you, and let's talk to Marcus. And if your class does not have a give leader, then that might be you after today. I don't know. We'll see. All right. So, but let's just kind of start here really quick, and we'll go kind of fast. Just your name. You told me you're from Sharpstown Baptist Church. Welcome, Raymond. Ray. We're glad you're here. And Ray just told me that he is missions director, missions pastor, minister at his church. And so I look forward to connecting with you, Ray. Yeah. All right. You got name tags, so that kind of helps. Paul, you're at the Loop campus.
Yeah.
What LBS class are you in?
Not
1024. 1024. Yeah. All right. Very good. Are you the give leader?
There's no give leader.
No give leader.
For God.
Might change after today. What's your name?
I'm Sydney.
Sydney, all right.
And I go here at this campus when I'm like in school, but when I'm at home, I go to Community of Faith.
Okay, great.
It's in Hockley.
Hockley, okay, great. What LBS class are you in when you're here?
College.
Great. Yeah, with Hunter. That's great. All right.
I'm Katie. I go here. I'm also part of the college group.
Nice. That's great.
I'm Brenna. Me too.
Great. Love it.
I'm Riley.
Great. All right. Great. Okay, so 4 college students right up here at the front. Recent college grad. Yeah, right. All right.
I'm David. And I'm not part of the college ministry. You can probably tell, but that's the case. I do attend the Loop campus. We're in the bridge class, and I'm not sure about official titles in our class as far as give leaders. So I know we've got people leading, and we're just kind of coming alongside. So.
Great. Love it. All right. What class again?
Bridge.
Bridge. All right. All right. Catherine?
Yeah. Yes, I'm Catherine. And I am a
good
leader.
Nice.
Yay.
That's great. Selah. All right. Is that the class that Zach is the director
yes.
of?
Zach. Yeah.
So Laura, she's all right. Laura Trotta.
Yeah.
She's okay. No, she Laura's on our missions team. She works with me, so yeah, she's great. All right.
Elizabeth
10:24. Okay, I'll come over here. Amy.
Amy, Cypress Campus, College and Young Adults.
Nice.
Sure, I'm the GIV leader. We're kind of doing all roles right now.
Yeah.
College and Young Adults.
Great.
So, yeah.
That's great.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. I go to the Loop Campus. I'm in Fervent. It's in the Singles Ministry class.
Yeah.
And our GIV leader just sat down. So
okay.
Potential
okay.
GIV leader or support of that role is what I was praying about doing.
So. Great. Wonderful. Glad you're here. I hope today's time is meaningful for you, and that that today's time might give a lot of clarity to what a GIV leader can do in their class. So thank you for being here.
Yes. I'm Steve Chan from the Siena campus, and I go to a Sunday school class called the Thunder.
Great. That's great.
My name is Daniela, and I attend here to the Spanish LDS.
Yes. Great. Were you there when I preached in Spanish?
Yes, I
all right. Now you get to hear me teach in English.
I know.
Yeah. Glad you're here.
Yes.
All right. And Ms. Patsy, thank you for hosting our room today. Thank you for your help.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Let's go ahead and get started. We're going to move kind of fast because I've got about 40 slides to go through, okay? I'm not joking, but we'll go fast, though. Three questions we're going to look at today. Number one, we're going to look at how a discipleship community, in our context, an LBS class, a discipleship community can function as a missions incubator. We're going to answer the question, how to gather, grow in our church's way of making disciples who gather, grow, and give? How do gather, grow lead to a life of give? And lastly, how can discipleship communities engage both near and far? So that's just kind of it's a good overview of what we're going to try to cover here today, and just kind of, you know, in just about 40 minutes, just really just kind of scratch the surface on what we can do here together. But I want to first talk about a discipleship goal. You know, you're part of an LBS class or a discipleship community. If you're a different church, you might not call it an LBS class. We call them Life Bible Studies. But your discipleship community has a goal, probably many goals. The bottom line is that we want to see followers of Jesus Christ transformed into the image of Christ. That could be an entire session. If I was teaching a session on transformation, I would probably pull 6 transformations that happen in our lives when we follow Jesus Christ from our justification and entering into relationship with Jesus through sanctification. 6 transformations. We can't do that today because of time, but bottom line is that we want to see people transformed into the image, to the likeness of Christ. And we can say that what that means is that what God loves, we love. The things that are near and dear to the heart of God should be near and dear to our hearts as well. And as we experience God's sanctification, transformation in our lives, we begin to love the things that God loves. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about that one. As we grow in Christ, we begin to love the things that God loves. And one of the things that God loves is that His glory would be made known among all peoples of the earth. So there are over 1,600 verses in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that talk about God's passion for His glory to be made known among all people. So the idea, the reality that God desires for His name to be made known among all people of the earth is significant, and we can't miss that. And if we spend any time in God's Word, again and again, over and over again, we will see that God desires this. And if we love God, then we begin to take on this love to see other people as well. Other people come to see and know the glory of God in their lives as well. So just one quick example for you. This is the story that if you grew up in church or not, maybe you've learned it already. Remember the story of Daniel and the lion's den, right? Probably colored, maybe if you grew up in church, like my daughters have, they on Sunday morning come home with all these coloring pages and crafts and all sorts of things, and probably talk about Daniel and the lion's den quite a bit. Daniel and the lion's den is a very common story, one that they teach to young children all the way through, right? All the way through adulthood. Great story. the story of Daniel's in the lion's den. We won't get into all the details of the Daniel lion's den, but we know that God rescues Daniel from a king who was swayed by evil people in his kingdom, and God rescued Daniel. Daniel was faithful and obedient and trusted God, and God rescues him from death. And that's not the end of the story. The story ends like this. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this story, Daniel in the lion's den, ends with God's glory being declared among all languages, nations, tribes that King Darius writes to. So what man meant for evil in trying to destroy God's servant, Daniel, God uses to bring glory to himself, and that all the people of the earth that King Darius writes to would know that he, and what did it say about, what did King Darius say about God, the God of Daniel? That he's the living God. And so God, in this story that you and I have learned as even as little children, demonstrates his desire to be made known among all people. You find it at the end of David and Goliath, that well-known story that we learned as a child. You find it after story after story after story from Genesis to Revelation. God, his desire to be, for his glory to be made known among people. So there's another discipleship goal here. In transformation, we want to say that what God says that we believe. That's the second blank you have. What God says we believe. And God says a lot about your identity and my identity in Christ. And one of the things he says is that we are ambassadors for Christ. And so if God says that you as a follower of Jesus Christ are his ambassador, and that that is part of your identity in Christ, then we believe. We believe that God says that, and he says that about us, and that we want to live that out. And lastly, what God commands, we obey. And so if God commands us in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, to go make disciples, then if he commands us to do this, then we obey, then we will obey. So that's the goal. We want to see followers of Jesus Christ transformed, and we want to obey what he says. We want to love the things that he loves, and we want to live this out. All right. Okay. So here we go. So now we're going to talk about cultivating a missional heart in the people of your LBS classes, cultivating missional hearts in our LBS classes. And this applies to any discipleship community that you might find yourself in. If you were discipling three people or a college group with a bunch of students, college students in that class, or the young adult ministry out in Cyprus, that could be your, that is your discipleship community. And you can substitute that for LBS class right here on my slide. But you all know what an incubator is, right? There are different types of incubators. We've seen an incubator that incubates plants or eggs, or even in the NICU, an incubator that helps a baby to grow and develop in a healthy way. And I thought this was a really neat picture I wanted to show you. This is a really good example of what an incubator does, because an incubator is an apparatus that is used to control environmental conditions for cultivation. So in this particular incubator right here, this incubator allows you to set the temperature. It allows you to time when the egg is turned, and provides ideal conditions for these eggs to hatch. And so if you were to consider for a moment that your discipleship community can be a missions incubator, in other words, the place or the environment that would allow the people that are part of that discipleship community to grow and ready their hearts for the mission that God has called them to. So if you take one thing away from today, let it be that your discipleship community can be the missions incubator that, so to say, bakes people's hearts in preparedness and readiness to go do what God has called them to do in his mission. So there's a great purpose and a plan to these discipleship communities. And it isn't simply or only that people who follow Jesus would grow in holiness, grow in love for one another, but that in this discipleship community, that they would be prepared and readied for the mission that God has called them to. Your discipleship community can be the place where you set the environment, the temperature, and all that is needed for someone in that group to grow in readiness to fulfill the mission. I wanted to show you this picture really quick because now this is a little bit off topic, but I'm going to tie it in here really quick. This graphic right here is a picture of what we call the core missionary task, and it describes what a missionary does when they go into a cross-cultural or foreign context to initiate kingdom work, gospel work, where no one has ever gone before. So you have entry, somebody arrives, you have gospel witness, evangelism, and then when someone comes to faith in Christ, discipleship begins. And if you have a few people come to faith in Christ, they start to meet together with whoever has brought them to faith in Christ and has begun to disciple them. And then when you have several of them forming together and start to practice from God's word what the functions of a church are, you begin to see a church formed, church formation, and then leadership training. So when I talk about our LBS classes and discipleship community, the incubator of missional living, I can put that right about here. Or if you're here at Houston's First or in a church today, you are sitting in a church that has already been formed, yes? And your discipleship community is one group in that circle right there, all right? So that's part one. I want you to understand where discipleship community fits in this core missionary task. And now I want to give you a picture of the last slide I'm going to show you that you're going to draw, but don't draw it yet, okay? Just look at it really quick. The second half of your handout is blank for a reason, because you're going to start to fill this in with me, okay? So that's the end result right there that you see on the screen. It's a lot. You're going to fill all that in with me. Just give you a glance, because whenever I go to sessions like this, and I want to know how much space do I need in my notebook to actually be ready to do this, and speakers and presenters start doing it, and I'm like, you could have told me I needed two back-to-back pages, all right? So there you go. Just take a little glance about where we're going. And here we go. Let's talk about your life Bible study as a missions incubator, okay? So the aim, the goal is to cultivate a missional heart in our people, in the people of our LBS class. And the incubator gets to set the environment for that. So in your LBS class, you have people, followers of Jesus. Some of them are families. Some of them are college students. Some of them are teenagers or children or young adults, adult one or two, like we call them here at Houston's First, married adults. But you have all these family units, and you have them together in what we call a life Bible study or a discipleship community, and they're growing together. They're gathering their hearts. Let's see here. They're gathering their hearts, and they're growing together. They worship together, they connect with one another, they build community and love for one another, and they grow together. They grow in God's word, and they do that through Bible study. And this happens all in the context of a discipleship community. But that's not all, because the discipleship community is also intended to look outward. They don't look simply at one another and develop community with one another and fellowship and love for one another and care for one another. But the intention is that these discipleship communities would also look outward. Okay? And because they are designed or intended to look outward, they have a give leader. Now, your class may or may not officially have a give leader that is named. If you're here today, you can be an unofficial give leader, all because you care about the mission of God and want to see other people around you step out in faith and fulfill the mission together with you. But classes have give leaders, or if you are not the official give leader, then I'm going to knight you today as a mobilizer in your class. All right, so the give leader has a very specific goal, and that's why on the screen there, that give leader is pointing, and he's not pointing to one another within the community, but he is somebody within the discipleship community that's pointing outside of the discipleship community. He's the person in the class. He or she is are the people in the class that are pointing outward and saying, we love Jesus. Let's look outward at those that are in need, the world around us that is in need. Now, I want to give you a couple quick definitions really quick, just so we can kind of be on the same page. The first definition is the definition of the word mobilize. Ray asked me right now, what do you do at Houston's First? And I said, I'm the minister of mobilization. A lot of times people come to me and they say, oh, mission trips. I'm like, yes, but also no. All right. So mobilize. Mobilize me is to awaken, to excite, to inspire, to provoke, stimulate, galvanize, and encourage groups of people toward some specific action. Missions mobilization, though, is a little bit more specific. Missions mobilization is all about pointing people who know Jesus to entire groups of people who do not know Jesus. It's pretty simple. Missions mobilization is all about pointing people who know Jesus, okay, your discipleship communities, all the people in your LBS class or ministry who know Jesus. Mobilization is all about pointing them toward entire groups of people who do not know Jesus. And the goal of mobilization then is to help followers of Jesus, to help Christians see that Jesus' commission to go and make disciples of all nations is for each and every person. It doesn't mean that every one of them will end up as missionaries on the mission field, but it does mean that every single person who follows Jesus Christ is called to fulfill the Great Commission and has a role to play. And a mobilizer is somebody who's just constantly pointing people toward discovering what that role is, what that role is in the Great Commission. In John 20, 21, Jesus said, "As the Father, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." Jesus pointing his disciples, his followers, toward people who do not follow him or who knew him at that time, right? You could say that Jesus was a mobilizer as well. And he was a lot of things. One of his roles, one of the things that he did, was he showed us what it looked like to point others who know him toward those who do not know him. And what I want you to know, what I want to tell you, is that as a, if you're here today, as a mobilizer, that is more than a role in your LBS class that involves planning activities or give moments, but it's an actual identity that you can own. And that role means that you are activating and influencing people who follow Jesus Christ. I have a friend here at our church, the 11 o'clock service, and he has such a love for the Lord and a love for the mission of God that it's so contagious that anyone who hangs out with him ends up doing any of the number of missions projects that he's involved in. You just can't be around him without saying, all right, I'm in. He just kind of like bleeds that. And it's not because of his personality. It's not because he's outgoing or maybe not outgoing, but because God is using him in a very special way. And it's to point those that are closest to him toward what God is doing around him. He's a mobilizer. And I want you to consider that you can be a mobilizer too and have a strategic role to play in your discipleship community. That is pointing people toward those who don't yet know Jesus. All right. Okay. So as a mobilizer, then I want to give you four core tools that you can use and practice in your discipleship community, large or small. I'm going to give you four things that you can do with a group of disciples who follow Jesus and know him so that they can be encouraged and activated to live out the Great Commission. So if your Life Bible study then is a missions incubator, then these four tools are going to be helpful for you to practice. The very first one. Oh, and by the way, I also want to say that as I go through the next, I don't know, maybe 10 slides here, you're probably going to start to pick up on some of the things that your discipleship community has already done or is doing or plans to do, and you're going to start to say, like, oh yeah, our class does that, and now you're going to be able to place that into this strategy of saying, okay, that is why we taught that lesson. That is why we prayed about this. That is why we did this or that initiative. It has to fit in the strategy, all right? So here's the first core tool. The first core tool is Bible study. It's Bible study. But not just Bible study with a focus on missiology and discipleship. God's mission and God's heart, the narrative of Scripture from Genesis through Revelation. So not only teaching Matthew 28, the Great Commission, or Matthew 24, but from Genesis to Revelation, the narrative of Scripture, Bible study that is focused on the reality that God is a God who's redeeming and rescuing all that is broken, including humanity, and that we see that in the pages of Scripture. And so it's a very specific, way of Bible study. And it's not just a topic, and it's not just a missions topic per se. I mean, you could do that, but it's more than that. So that's the first core tool, is that we would, with our discipleship communities, that we would look at Scripture and see the biblical basis for mission. We'd see a biblical basis for the mission of God, all right? So that's the first core tool. The second core tool is prayer. That in your discipleship community, that prayer would engage the entire community in intercession for the unreached, intercession for the world, intercession for the nations that do not yet know Him, intercessions for the areas of our own country that are in great spiritual need and hurting and struggling, intercession for the specific needs we see in our own city, in our own local context. Prayer ministry is essential for activating people to live out the Great Commission. People need to see it in Scripture that God's heart is for followers of Jesus to step out and fulfill the mission. Okay, prayer is the engine. I didn't invent that myself. It's a famous quote by this guy named, I think it's Andrew Murray. He says that prayer is the engine. It's what activates us. Without prayer and intercession, we stay stagnant. But a prayer ministry in a discipleship community might then look like groups that are together intentionally praying for the unreached of the world, as well as needs in our own local context. We're going to dig into that one just a little bit more. I'm going to keep going. Number three, the third core tool that I want to give you for mobilization, for pointing people to fulfill the Great Commission, is special missions moments within your discipleship community. And I'm going to give you examples of these in a moment. What that means is simply that there is so much that happens on the mission field. There's so much that God is doing in our own local context right here in Houston that by and large people never ever get to hear about. And we've got to learn to create some special missions moments within our discipleship community and gatherings so that people can come face to face with stories and things that they never get to hear about. When I moved over to our missions team here at Houston's First and started working on our team, I was immediately struck and surprised at the number of stories that we get to hear about what God is doing all around the world. Like, you could almost look at that back map back there and pick a region of the world, and I can almost tell you, depending on where you pick, I can almost tell you, like, oh, we know somebody there, and this is what God is doing in that region. It's been eye-opening. And not a week goes by where I don't think to myself, I need our church to hear these stories. I need our church to hear these moments. Sometimes I say to myself, there isn't enough stage time on a Sunday morning in the world to get to unpack all of the great stories of what God is doing around the world. So where do these stories need to be shared then? In your discipleship community, with your people. It doesn't mean that you take an entire Sunday morning with your LBS class to tell mission stories, but it does mean that a 5-minute story or testimony here or there can make a great impact. And so some of the special missions moments are brief and short, and some of them are more intentional. Like, you might have a global worker or a missionary that is visiting us here at Houston's First that you have in your class, so that our people, your people in your discipleship community, who never come face to face with the realities of what God is doing in certain parts of the world, get to have that moment and see that moment. Okay, so special missions moments, and that we would create those in our discipleship communities. And then number four, the fourth tool is challenge. A challenge to commit to. That a give leader or a mobilizer would be ready to put a challenge in front of followers of Jesus Christ. That we would get to see people who follow Jesus making faith-filled, spirit-led commitments to live as sent ones. And that a mobilizer would say, I'm challenging you, my discipleship community, to step out and live as someone who is sent, sent to family, sent to workplace, sent to my local community, and sent to the nations. And that would be the fourth core tool that I want to give you, that people in our discipleship communities, they want a challenge. They need to be challenged. I used to tell teenagers this all the time. I used to tell teenagers sitting in church just bored. I said, are you bored in church? Are you bored of God? And the ones that I was closest to who were honest with me would sometimes say like, yeah, I'm kind of bored. And I'd tell them, you know that the mission of God isn't boring. There's nothing boring about getting to be a part of what God is doing near and far. So those young people just needed a challenge. They needed a great challenge, and they needed to learn and to know that God created them for a great purpose, and it was to declare his glory among all people, near and far, and get to see their eyes light up and get excited about being a part of something so great and so beautiful. Okay, so I've given you four core tools. We are going to get to some discussion right just in a bit here, but now I want to give you, after these four core tools, I want to give you three activities that happen inside of the missions incubator. So I've given you four tools that someone can use in an LBS or a discipleship context to work to help move people into the mission. Now I want to give you activities, three things that happen. The first is that we want to see people equipped and educated. What does that mean? It means that we want people to understand what the Great Commission is and what it is not. So this core tool right here this activity that should happen in a discipleship community connects directly to which core tool? Remember? There's one of them. Yeah, Bible study. How are people going to know what the Great Commission is and what the Great Commission is not? It's definitely being in God's Word, time in God's Word together. What about the biblical foundation in the narrative of Scripture? It's definitely that first core tool, Bible study, and biblical missiology beyond Matthew 28, 18 to 20. So if you're in a life Bible study, you might also be a part of a grow group, which is a smaller gathering within a life Bible study of, I don't know, what is it, like 3 to 5 people, maybe, I don't know, fewer people, depending on the grow group. I think here at Houston's First, I haven't figured it out yet. I probably should. I think some LBS classes have grow groups and some don't. And some probably are meeting like grow groups, but don't call them grow groups. And that's okay. I'm not really all about the titles and what they're called and what they're not called. What I do think, though, is that in whatever the discipleship community might look like, that almost weekly, someone in the group, if not various people in the group, should be quoting Matthew 28, 18 through 20 by memory. Like, it just needs to be a thing. Like, the biblical missiology that comes from Matthew 28, 18 to 20, that somebody is saying that out loud constantly. And then also beyond Matthew 28, 18 to 20, that the discipleship community is being equipped to understand what the mission of God is. All right. So I've talked a lot. Let me hit pause for just a moment. How might we accomplish equip in our discipleship communities? Tell me some things that your discipleship community have done to help people in your classes to be equipped to know what the mission of God is and what it is not. Anybody got any ideas? Maybe you can hear from each other. Our class has done this. This has worked. Anybody? Yes, Ray.
We just know that the foundation of all this is Jesus, right? And so answering the question who Jesus is
Okay.
Helps us, because if it's true, and because it's true, we can now understand what the Great Commission is, to like send that foundation of what, who we serve and why we're doing it, is how we can, or how we have that sharp talent.
Yeah, that's good. I love that. That's great. Laying that foundation. Anybody else? Anything that your life Bible studies have done that you can recall that that are about equipping people to know the mission?
I mean, other than giving a presentation like on the you know, kind of the biblical theology through
sure.
Revelation?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. I think that that's, yeah, let's definitely acknowledge and say that out loud. Whenever I'm asked to substitute teach a life Bible study here at the Loop campus, I've got my go-to lesson is the narrative of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. And I'm going to, in 45 minutes, I'm going to run through probably 10 different Scripture passages. I'm going to start with Genesis 1, 2, and then I'm going to look at Genesis 12, 13, the Abrahamic covenant. Then I'm going to go to Revelation 7, 9, and then I'm going to go backwards, and then I'm going to start to hit various common stories in the Old Testament, then into the New Testament, and then tie it all together and say, there you go. The mission heart of God, all connected in one thread. And you get various responses. Sometimes people are like, that's great. That just really reminds me of what I've heard and what I know. And then sometimes people say, I had no idea. I didn't know it was all connected like that. And for them, Bible stories have just been individual collections of moments throughout history or the Bible, right? Okay. Any other things that worked for your class before we moved on? Has your class ever had any special guest speakers that have taught on the topic, on missions, or anything like that?
We've had the privilege of having people actually serving in the mission field come, and they walk in the class and their story, and you just—it's not somebody teaching a lesson; it's somebody telling you why they've done it, what the calling was that they felt, how they've handled situations, and it's always captivating and motivating.
Love it. Well, with that, let's move on then. That ties right into number two. So I want to show you really quick just three different resources that I really like. Perspectives, Awaken, and Explore. Perspectives is 13 weeks long. You can take it for a master's level credit. You can audit the class. I mean, it's a lot. I've been to the class. I've audited it multiple times. We've hosted it. We want to host again in the future. It's a great class. Wonderful.
Cypress is doing it.
Yeah, Cypress is trying to get on the schedule to host. Explore is a six-week version. Yes?
On the perspectives, can we get that at the satellite campuses?
Yeah. I mean...
Like Cypress and Siena?
Yes, yes. So the way it works is Perspectives is a national, in fact, international or ministry, and they look for host sites all across, all over the place. So Houston will probably have 2 to 4 host sites in the fall. Mm-hmm. Perspectives is a great class. We've hosted it. We hope to host it again in the future. Explore is a shorter version of Perspectives. It's about 6 weeks long. You can do it like in a group of 3 or 4 people. I've taught it in a class of 15, 20, 30 people and added my own content in. But it's a great class, user-friendly. And then Awaken is an incredible resource that's about 7, 8 weeks long, I think. It's designed to do in a small group format, and then has 5 or 6 days of devotional between small groups that are all centered around the mission of God in the Bible. All right, so just three great resources that you could do in your context right there. All right, so we've got Equip, and then the next one is Encourage, and that kind of will connects directly to what David was talking about right here. Encourage is all about helping our discipleship community to experience and to spark a passion for God's heart to see people come to know Him. So in mobilization, as a give leader and as a mobilizer, you want to be a person who is helping others gain a heart and a passion. Now, let me just say this. You can't guilt anybody into fulfilling the Great Commission. You can't guilt anybody into doing missions. Otherwise, it just becomes a checkbox for them and not something that is truly flowing from a transformation that God has done in their life or heart, right? God transforms our hearts and our lives to love Him and to love what He loves. And then we begin to love the mission, And because we love the mission, we then gain a passion for God's heart to see his glory made known. Okay, but so you equip, you encourage, and part of encouraging is, or my question is, how might we accomplish encouraging in LBS class? And I think missions stories is so critical. I'm going to give you a few ideas here really quick, just for the sake of time. Number one, how do people gain a passion? Prayer and worship. Prayer and worship, which we could also call gather in our church, prayer and worship should fuel the mission. I'll give you a quick example, okay? On a Sunday morning here a while back, we were singing this song, worship song in our worship service. You've heard it. It goes, to the nations, I've witnessed it. To my family, I've witnessed it. To the broken, I've witnessed it. I'm confident I'll tell them what I've witnessed. And I probably didn't get all the lines, but it's like over and over again. To my family, I've witnessed it. To the hurting, I've witnessed it. To the broken, I've witnessed it. To the lost, I've witnessed it. To the nations, I've witnessed it. I'm confident I'll tell them what I've witnessed. And I'm standing there worshiping on a Sunday morning, and David sits near me off to my left, and I just stop, and I just turn, and I just look back at all these people singing this song, and this thought came into my head. This is a mission song, this worship song that declares how amazing it is to know the God who is rescued, redeemed, and saved. In this song, I am singing and saying, I will be the sent one, right? Okay, so we have to make sure that in our discipleship communities that there isn't a separation from worship and give mission. Worship should fuel this give, this outreach, this mission that we are to live. So prayer and worship. You can't guilt anybody into fulfilling the Great Commission, but I tell you what, in my own personal life, you cannot pray, you cannot do intercession for the lost, for the needs of our own city, for the nations, without then gaining a passion for the mission. If you want to gain a passion for the mission of God, pray, and then watch what's going to happen in your life, right? So intentional prayer initiatives in our LBS classes, worship moments, digital and print media. The digital media I'm going to show you in a minute is really cool. Stories from the missions field. It can be stories that our missions team sends you. It could be stories that we're hearing here at our church. It could be a guest that's in town that you're going to put in front of your people to hear stories. What I say about stories from the mission field is this, is I like to say that stories of faithfulness inspire me to be faithful to what God has called me to do. So when I am in a discipleship environment, like an LBS class, and I hear the story of how a family is on the mission field in a hard place around the world, being faithful to do what God has called them to do in that context, I say to myself, I want to be faithful in the context that God has put me in right here. If they can fulfill their calling in a very difficult, unreached, even dangerous place like fill in the blank, right? Then what can I do? God, I want to be faithful right here. So mission stories, stories from the field, and then celebrating the stories of our own people. Here's what I mean by this. In our discipleship community, Life Bible Studies, we've got to learn to create moments where our own people are sharing stories about how God is using them while they're on a mission. So someone from your class goes on a mission trip by themselves or with a team from our church, doesn't matter. They come back. They need a platform to share that story. They need a platform to share what God has done in their lives and what God is doing, what God did while on the field in a short-term way. And then the discipleship community comes around them and celebrates the story, celebrates what God has done in their life. It doesn't have to be just a mission trip. It's also right here in our own context. For example, you are praying for a coworker. That coworker finally asks you a question, the question you've been waiting for a long time. You've wondered if you were being too pushy with inviting to church and talking about God and a number of things, and you've just been patient. And your LBS class has been praying. You've been praying. And that person, that coworker that you care about, finally has come to you and asked you, and you've discussed and dialogued, you've had the God conversation with them. And you go back to your discipleship community and you give praise and thanksgiving to God with your discipleship community. And your discipleship community celebrates that story with you. Okay, that really inspires and pushes people to gain a passion celebrating the stories of our own people. Okay, really quick, under encourage, a few things. Number one, this is PrayerCast. You can, I want to encourage you to go to PrayerCast.com, all right? PrayerCast.com. The homepage looks just like this. PrayerCast has hundreds and hundreds of videos, and all of the videos are prayers for people groups, nations, people all over the world. I believe even prayer for our own nation. It's a wonderful page. You could pull a 2 or 3 minute video from this website and show it to your Life Bible study on a Sunday morning. They're well done. The narration is great. Meaningful intercessory prayer that will encourage your people and give them and hopefully give them a passion for the mission. All right. And then here's another one that I like to encourage people to make a regular habit and kind of rhythm in their life. This is IMB, the International Mission Board, imb.org/pray. Or you could just go to the homepage and click on the pray link at the top, imb.org. Every single day on this page right here, missionaries from around the world are uploading prayer requests. So these prayer requests right here are from today. They're just a few hours old. Prayer requests from a pregnancy center in Chiang Mai, Thailand, from the Konkan coast, India, from the Nubians of Northern Africa, the Norwegians of Norway, and you can keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, okay? They also have an app. I like to pull out my phone, open up the app right before bed. What are the prayer requests of the day? And I don't spend a lot of time on there every day. It might be just a minute or two. There might be one that catches my attention before I go to bed. But prayer, intentional prayer, and doing that as a community will foster that in our people, all right? So here we go. The last one, number three, the last activity of mobilization for your incubator is activate. That we equip as mobilizers, we encourage, and we also activate. We want to see people engaged, and we want to see people identify their role in the Great Commission. All right, so that's the third. And here are some categories. You've heard Pastor Greg say that we pray, give, go, or we're disobedient, right? Those are the choices, right? We pray, give, go, and we also send. We are not all called to be the goer. We're not all called to be the long-term missionary. But if we're not called to be the long-term missionary, we certainly are called to be a part of sending those who are called and to being in their network and their care team. So what would it look like then to activate a discipleship community toward living out the Great Commission together? Well, it might look like intentional prayer initiatives. One that is coming up that comes to mind right now is Ramadan. As a discipleship community, like your LBS class could say, Ramadan starts the last week of February. From February to the end of Ramadan, on Sunday, we're going to have a special prayer time for Muslims in Houston and around the world. See, it's just a simple prayer initiative. It doesn't have to take a lot of time, but you're doing it together as a discipleship community. Prayer initiatives, right? That's just one example. World Mission Offering, that's coming up too. Won't talk about that one. You'll hear about it in a few Sundays. Local Missions Outreach, lots of missions partners, ministry partners all across the city. Every one of the Houston's First Campus has missions ministry partners near and close to their campuses, short-term mission trips, and long-term sending. Those are just a few ideas. You could take any one of those general ideas and start to dig deep and say, you know what, my discipleship group is going to, and you just start to dig in right there together. All right, it's a good list right there. Really quick, just in about 1 minute, do you have any examples of how you have seen your discipleship community activated? What has worked for your class? What has worked for you? A special project in our city? A mission trip you went on together? What has worked for your discipleship community? in terms of activating, doing?
I know for a different couple colleges near here, and like we started one for ours, we like go out like every week, and we try to like share like the three circles, or like just like ask questions about religion, like get people thinking and like stuff about God.
So you're going to the campus with your discipleship community, and you're meeting people, praying for people, sharing three circles, sharing the gospel with people. Okay. Have you ever done that on your campus by yourself?
Something like duos.
Duos. I like it.
Yeah.
And here's why I ask you that question. Because it's much easier to do it together than by yourself. I mean, there's just something about being on mission together. You could all go all the way back to Luke 9 and see Jesus sending Luke 10, sending them out in pairs of two, right? Okay, good. For sake of time, let's go on. Let's go ahead. Really quick, on our church website, you can go to our website and learn a lot about missions partners that we have around the world, near and far. You can also go to our local missions page and learn about just various local ministries as well. And I didn't put a picture of it here, but you could also go and see short-term mission trips that our church is taking. All right. So really quick, what are the growth markers? Like, what does it look like for a discipleship community to grow toward having a heart and a passion for the mission of God and fulfilling that mission together? What are some of these growth markers? Well, just for the sake of time, I'll just give you a few. All right. So if your discipleship community begins to pray, intercede for the lost, for the world, for the city of Houston, you see your discipleship community begin to just take on this heart for intercession. That's a great growth marker. Modeling. That means that there are key people in your discipleship community that are leading the way by being an example to everybody else in the group. It's, I'll be the first to go. Y'all watch me. Pray for me. Send me. Help me go. But I'll be the first. And you're a part of my discipleship community, all right? It might be Katie getting ready to go to South Asia, right? And she's modeling something for that. If you start to see more and more people in your discipleship community modeling for the rest, that's a great sign, all right? Sharing. You begin to hear stories within your discipleship community of those who are sharing the gospel with others, opportunities to share. That's kind of self-explanatory. By the way, let me just throw this in there really quick. If you were to have discipleship community, Life Bible Study, if you as a Life Bible Study give leader or director, whoever, were to identify just one person in your discipleship community that is discerning a long-term call to the mission field, oh, what a blessing and an honor for you as a discipleship community to walk alongside a family, a young adult, a college student, somebody who's single, who is discerning a call to mission. I mean, it might be In a Sunday morning here at the Loop campus, 4,000 people here, it might be 40 people. It might be 1%. It might even be less. But if they are in your discipleship community, then the blessing of surrounding them with encouragement as they discern that call is incredible. And it will impact you and your discipleship community as well. That's sending, by the way. Giving. And celebrating the things that we get to celebrate together. Those are just some growth markers. We don't have time, but if I had time, I would ask you to name barriers to living this out.
Busyness.
Busyness, yes. Anybody got any other barriers? It's busyness for sure for my family. Anybody else? Fear, busyness, what else?
Laziness.
Apathy, sure.
Hesitation,
okay. Any other barriers? I like how we're all like really quick to name the barriers. Love it. It's reality. It's what we walk in every Sunday, right? There are barriers.
We've been meditating on those the entire presentation.